This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs or printed copies of today's sermon will follow the program. We invite you to join us every Sunday at this time for worship with us.
Is your Bible wearing out from use? We're going to talk about that in the sermon today. We invite you to stay tuned. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we confess that there are so many things in your word, our Bibles, that we cannot understand. They are mysterious. Your thoughts are far greater than our thoughts. But we pray, Holy Spirit, that you will take those mysteries and open them to us as much as God wants us to know. But there are also so many truths there that are revealed clearly. The way of salvation and other ways that God wants us to live. So we pray today as we study a part of God's Word that deals with our Bible, you will be our teacher. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends in Christ. I was browsing around in a bookstore one day not long ago, and a lady who belonged to the congregation that I once served spied me. She ran over and she said, "I'm so glad that you're here. I know you can help me. I want to buy a new Bible, but I can't figure out which one to buy. Would you be willing to help me with your selection? So we took a look at the New International Version Bibles, those that had maps and concordances and brief expositions of the text that were at the bottom of the page. And finally, she made her own selection. As she left the store, I thought, "Lady, that Bible will bring you many blessings. It might even turn your whole life around and bring blessings to your family, too." That's exactly what we have found happening there. We'll talk about it more at the end of the service. Today, the Apostle Paul is writing to the young man Timothy about the Bible. Now, the Bible is extremely important in all Christian denominations, I would think. We believe in the Lutheran Church that the Bible is the inspired Word of God and the authority in all matters of faith and life. Let me say that once more. In Lutheranism, we believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God and the authority, not an authority, but the authority, the definite article, the authority in all matters of faith and life. I have always loved that definition, that confession of our church. I feel that it is short, and it is one that we can really appreciate because it is so basic. It does not entail us in a lot of little ideals or details that can cause some argument, but it simply tells us what we do believe. The Bible is the inspired Word of God, period. Now let's go to the first chapter, second chapter of the book of Genesis, and I'll try to illustrate what I mean by why I believe that doctrine or that definition is so tremendous. What does it say? It says that God is a creator of it all. There is a creator, and God is a creator. Now, it does not become involved in how he is a creator. I think we can leave some of those things for mankind, humankind, people of science to think about and reveal to us. But God is a creator. I remember, and I think I've used this some in Crusaders sermons in the past, in one of my confirmation classes many years ago, a young man came who was very, very fine student in school and was interested in the sciences. And he said, "We are studying science right now, and we're in this whole matter of evolution. Do you know that the Bible is not necessarily true?" "Oh," I said, "is that right?" "Yeah," he said, "God is not necessarily the creator, but this whole matter just evolved in and of itself. The Big Bang, or whatever you might want to call it." And I said, "Is that true?" "Notice what your Bible says. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It doesn't begin to tell us how he did it. Simply that he is the creator." Now, what do you say about that? And this young lad said, "I don't see any great conflict." In other words, I wasn't losing him to the real teachings of the Word of God simply because the definition that we have in our church of the Bible is leaving some of those details out and dealing only with the basics. So we sat down and talked. And through the year, as we went back and forth on what the Bible is, as far as these young people were concerned, it was truly a joy to point out that that Bible is God's holy, inspired, infallible Word of God. And that is the foundation of the faith of our church and the foundation of the faith of many of us who bear the name of just Christians, plain Christians. It is inspired. It is a revelation coming from beyond to us. And on this foundation, the Church of Jesus Christ stands. That's why it is so disturbing at times for some of us who have always lived with this definition, to think that perhaps some in high places are beginning to make a few adjustments, or that they have already done it. I can't accept that. I can't be a part of a church that does that, because I don't think a few learned men, and they may be learned men, sitting in a seminary of a prestigious name, can come forth with some ideas that will give us a better understanding of God's place in this whole world. I resent very strongly when some are saying, even to us who are in the lowliest place possible, the congregation, that a part of the Bible, primarily the law, can be altered to be culturally more acceptable. That angers me. I love my church. It is a church that taught me from a little kid that the Bible is God's inspired word. And I'm not for anybody coming when I'm an old man about ready to die and saying to me that you can adjust this Bible, especially the law. God only knows when it will be the gospel too. And it does give us concern. Concern from people who love their church and see parts of it ripped away from them. Is there any wonder that there is a rebellion? Is there any wonder that people go and seek out another place to worship? Well, that is a confession of our church. Now we also have the confession of the whole church at large, I imagine you could call it. And I wonder if we can somehow rather take a look at what Paul has to say and come forth with some agreement. Paul is writing to the young man Timothy, as we have said so many times these past weeks. He is sitting in a dungeon. And here is what the Bible says regarding itself. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Can we spend just a little bit of time on this? Notice that it says it is useful for teaching. That's about what the Bible is saying of itself. You want to know what God is teaching? Then turn to your Bible. And you'll find that in that teaching, there is often some rebuking. For example, if you turn to the book of Mark, the 8th chapter, I believe it is, that the Word of God is telling us there that Jesus is about ready to go up and be crucified for the sins of the world. And as he predicts his death, there is a response on the part of Peter. Let me read it to you. Jesus then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and, after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But now notice this. Jesus turned and looked at his disciple. And you know good and well that he really loved Peter. But he said, "Oh, I thank you for your kindness, Peter." No, he didn't. He rebuked Peter with these hard words, and this comes from Jesus. "Get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." In other words, what we're seeing here in this part of God's holy word is that there comes a time when God has really got to tell us that we're wrong. We're in the wrong frame of mind. We cannot carry on this way, and that cannot be the announcement in our church. Of course, our Lord expects that we humans down here pondering the mysteries of the Word of God perhaps wonder, well, what does it really mean? But here is a God who hurries on to say, "It is a word that will stand. I will be delivered up, Peter. You are wrong." Yes, you are, Peter. Even though you might have a prominent position among the 12, you are wrong. And be man enough to confess your sins, because I say it to you out of love. It is in the Word of God, for example, we hear what is right and what is wrong. We are living in a day and age where the teachings of the absolutes become fainter and fainter. And so we have just kind of set them aside. And perhaps somebody would say, "Well, I think back in the days of my parents or my grandparents, it was at least a little clearer as to what we should do and what we should not do than now, because they had some absolutes." It tells us, for example, that we are not to commit adultery. That means that any sexual activity outside of marriage is sin. There is no way that you can, in any way, except cohabitation. Not at all. That particular act is left only for those in the marriage state. That's what you'll hear in your Bible. Now, do you want to follow some philosophy that might be proclaimed in a magazine of the day? Or do you want to go back and open up your Bible and read in the 20th chapter of Exodus what God says? "Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill." We today seem to be schooling people somehow, some way, how to murder. You don't like somebody, then okay, give them a shot. And then we say, well, it's because they're sick. And I believe they are sick. I don't think any person who is really in his or her right mind will go out and shoot their child. Say nothing about their spouse. Or that they would shoot anybody anywhere. But when you have no revealed revelation that is your foundation in all matters of faith and life, where do you turn for what is right and what is wrong? It is in the Bible, according to our text today, that in this God-breathed document known as the Scriptures, we have our teaching, we have our rebuking, we have our correcting, we have our training in righteousness. My favorite portion of Scripture that I've said to you so often is that little passage of Scripture in Luke 19, the story of Zacchaeus. Let me just paraphrase it for you to help you remember. Zacchaeus was a tax collector, and he went around and took a little bit too much money from the people, and they didn't like him. And then one day, Jesus came to Jericho, where Zacchaeus lived, and he told him, "Zacchaeus, I want to be at your house today." He went and, I like to say, spent the night there. And during the course of that time, Jesus talked very seriously. He rebuked him for what he was doing, I'm sure. We don't get the whole details of what happened that night. But in the morning, we can see that Zacchaeus had been doing some real thinking. And he looked to Jesus and he said, "I have made some real changes." And he told him what the changes were. And when Jesus heard those changes, he said, "I want you to share them with your fellow men who are right near here." And so they went outside, and on the stoop of that beautiful house where Zacchaeus was living, here was a group gathering because they wanted to see Jesus. And Jesus said to them, "Good morning. This is my brother Zacchaeus. He has something to say to you." And then Zacchaeus says, "I've been with Jesus tonight. And I tell you this, that if I have wronged any of you, I'm going to restore it fourfold. And the half of my goods I give to the poor." And then Jesus, I'm sure, clued them in. "Zacchaeus has received me as his Savior and Lord. And because of that, he wants to live a different life." The same message that Jesus brought to Zacchaeus, he brings to you and me in our Bibles. He will rebuke us as he rebuked Peter. He will train us as he trained Zacchaeus. He will love us as he wants to love the whole world, by telling us that the way of salvation is by repenting of our sins and believing that Jesus is Savior and Lord. That's the message. The same one that he gave while he walked here is found on the pages of your Bible, and that book is in your home. I asked you in the promo this week, I asked you this question: is your Bible wearing out because of its use? Well, I tell you that when I helped the lady in the bookstore where I was roaming around to find another Bible, and I thought, this can change her life. I know that lady. And there's every reason for me to believe that the Bible is being read in her life, is changing her life. There are signs of wear on its covers, as I've noticed it from time to time in a Bible study. Her witness is that she is one of God's redeemed children who know the Lord Jesus in a personal way. So again, I ask you, my friend, is your Bible wearing out? Amen.
Day by day and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond no measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly is near me with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares he fain would bear and cheer me. He whose name is Counselor and Power. The protection of his true treasure is a charge that on himself he laid. As thy days, thy strength shall be in
Pray with me. Father, we thank you for this gracious word. Help us to understand that the power that is in that word can also come into our lives. May we gather our families around that word. May we know what your will is for our life. And above all, may we know that our salvation is found in Jesus Christ alone. In whose name we pray, amen.
You have been listening to Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. We pray today's gospel message has brought you comfort as you prepare for the week ahead. Some Christian Crusaders listeners have chosen to join our GEM or Gift Every Month Club. These listeners make a regular monthly contribution to our ministry so that we continue to broadcast the Word of God 20 stations in 9 states across the country. Because this gift can be deducted automatically each month, the GEM Club is a simple and convenient way to support Christian Crusaders. All gifts can be directed to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Christian Crusaders is pleased to offer a series of sermons on DVD video by our speaker, the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. This series, entitled Basic Biblical Truths, features 5 original sermons, each 20 minutes in length, perfect for gifts, pulpit supply, and small group or individual use. The DVDs are available for a suggested donation of $10 each or $50 for the complete set. Visit our website to order and add these Christian Crusaders sermons to your personal collection today. If you'd like a CD or printed copy of today's program, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You may also direct your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders is now in its 75th year of continuous broadcasting of biblical truth.